Welcome to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoffer, and I'm the director of Northwestern University's Infrastructure Technology Institute.
And I'm your co-host, Tom Herman.
The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it.
On the afternoon of May 22, 2011, an EF5 tornado struck Joplin, Missouri, killing 161 people and injuring about 1,000. St. John's Regional Medical Center in Joplin suffered substantial structural damage. 5 patients and 1 visitor died on the day of the storm. The damage to the hospital was so extensive that the facility required replacement. Because such storms are not rare in Joplin, it has been struck by 3 tornadoes in the past 4 decades. The goal was to design a new facility that would safely withstand a future tornado by learning from the structural weaknesses of the original building after such conditions.
An interim hospital of 160,000 square feet was designed and built in 8 months utilizing modular construction. Called Mercy Hospital, it opened on April 15th of 2012 and is currently in use. Meanwhile, the 900,000 square foot permanent Mercy Hospital is currently under construction. Here today to discuss the innovative storm-resistant design of the permanent hospital is John Farnan, who's Executive Director of Strategic Projects for Mercy. John, thanks a lot for talking with us today.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Can you characterize the damage to the original hospital, and what were the critical failures that helped you come up with a design for the new hospital?
Sure. As you can imagine, after the tornado, the entire Joplin area and community here for 6 or 7 miles lost all the utilities, phone, power, water, communication, gas, and such. So even the cell coverage here was unavailable for some time. So the National Guard actually secured the entire area and closed it off. So it was apparent when we first saw the hospital that it was severely damaged and possibly unable to ever be repaired. So we had a multidisciplinary team kind of assess the damage and go through the facility, and this took 2 or 3 weeks to go through there and make sure the facilities were safe to even get in to evaluate them. So the first thing we did was start putting up chain link fences around the property, to keep people from wandering into the facility and try to keep the area safe. So when the tornado hit, we kind of lost all of our utilities, power, backup systems, and such. The emergency generators were damaged by equipment and mechanical systems on the roof, which blew off and landed on the generators.
The emergency generators were on the roof in the original hospital then?
The emergency generators were actually outside. They were on the ground, but they were outside in the back of the hospital. So as stuff blew off of the roof, they kind of blew off the backside and landed on the generators.
And you mentioned after the storm hit how everything was down in the town and you put a chain link fence around the hospital. Was it necessary to evacuate all the patients out of the hospital, or was the hospital still able to and attempting to serve the population in the aftermath of the storm?
Yes, actually, the hospital tried to maintain and were still treating the patients. So the first thing they did is find parts of the hospital in the lower levels where they could actually take patients to be safe while they evacuated. So they evacuated immediately. They lost power, all the utilities. So they actually evacuated the hospital and set up a temporary, more like a field hospital in Joplin, down at one of the government buildings, and they actually set that up to treat patients. They actually, one of the convention centers here in town, they actually set up kind of a triage too where they could treat patients and take care of them too. So patients were taken to other Mercy facilities and kind of taken to other facilities that could actually treat them and house them. So the facility was really vacated right away.
Was there major structural damage as well?
Actually, as far as the structure, it survived pretty well. I think if you look at some of the roof systems and the penthouses, they were kind of damaged. They had metal panel on the side, so they were kind of damaged. But as far as the structural steel and the precast concrete, those kind of components held up pretty well. I think the biggest issue with the exterior skin, of course, was the glass and the window systems.
So we jumped into a couple things right at once, but I thought I heard you starting to say that part of the roof came off. Did that happen?
Yeah, actually part of the roof systems, if you go to our roof systems that are actually metal deck with the foam insulation, those roof systems actually came off and the metal decking came off. So that kind of exposed the inside of the facility to the elements.
Do you think that in retrospect that the design of that original facility was particularly vulnerable? Or is it just a matter that the storm was so fierce that there's little could be done?
Well, you know, the facility was built 40 plus years ago or so, so it met all the codes and requirements and that, but most of our structural systems, window systems and that are only designed and rated for 90 mile an hour winds. So when you reach winds up to 200 plus miles an hour, you're bound to have some issues with that.
So now in designing the new facilities, what are the key considerations that you're wanting to cover to be safe in the eventuality of a stronger storm?
Well, actually, there's several items that we're looking at doing there. Of course, we talked about the glass systems. As we looked at the damage across the existing facility that was hit by the 200 mile an hour plus winds, it was apparent that the windows and the patient areas and stuff gave way. The actual windows that were actually in our behavioral health unit, which was actually safety laminated glass, held up and stayed pretty well intact. So we looked at those systems, but the rest of the windows throughout, which were just the, you know, normal design window systems, pretty much gave way and broke out. And what we learned is some of the ballast of the roof systems we have, tornado picked up some of that rock, kind of blew it into the windows and other areas and kind of caused some of the damage itself too. So
I'm wondering where you're going for ideas about how to build for these conditions. Are there buildings in the United States that are built to withstand 200 mile an hour winds?
You know, actually, as we got into this and we started looking, there's really not a lot of good examples, especially in healthcare, for tornado-proof, if you will, facilities. Most of the designs, even with the materials and such, really are for hurricane systems. So if you look at the hurricanes, there is some studies testing window systems, wall systems, and stuff for that. There's not a whole lot for tornado. So one of the best things we could do is take the lessons learned from what we see in the existing facility, where our precast, our brick, our stone, them type of areas held up pretty well. The EFIS systems allowed penetrations of flying debris. The concrete roof systems that we had in place, the membranes blew off, but the concrete deck stayed in place, so it kind of protected the inside of the facility from further damage there.
And you mentioned a lot of the places you looked at, examples that might have been, were built to withstand hurricane winds. Are there significant differences from an engineering standpoint in trying to protect a structure from a tornado versus a hurricane? Are there particular things about tornadoes?
Yeah, actually, hurricanes, of course, you get a whole lot more notice up front when a hurricane's, you know, in the area. With a tornado, you know, if you get a 10 or 15 minute notice or warning, you know, you're doing good. So I think a big hurricane might pack winds of 150 miles an hour or so, where tornadoes go up to 250 miles an hour. And I think also in tornadoes, it's projected that the projectiles with the higher winds, it's able to pick up heavier items and be able to move heavier items at a faster speed. So even the projectiles that are actually flying in a tornado fly at a higher speed. So even your systems and wall systems need to be tested at a higher rating.
So tell us what's new and different about the design for the new hospital.
Well, actually, of course, the lower levels of the existing hospital survived pretty well intact. There was some damage and stuff, but below grade is still your best option, you know, if you can move patients or move people below grade. So really, the new facility is going to have a couple levels below grade that will provide some evacuation zones for the facility for those people that can move to those areas. Foundations, really, the foundations are really typical drilled piers, so it's kind of your typical foundation for this area of the country. So all the exterior skin is hardened, so there won't be any EFIS systems in patient or staff or visitor areas. The old facility kind of had some areas that were EFIS. So all the windows will be a safety glazed window system. So the system we're looking at will provide at least a 60% higher strength and also provide for projectiles. So there'll be higher strength window systems in the facility over what was in the existing facility.
You mentioned at a couple points, EFIS systems. What does that mean? What's an EFIS system?
Well, it's kind of an external drywall plaster type system. So it's kind of an exterior drywall board you put up, and then actually it's just plaster. So it's not like a concrete wall or precast or brick.
So really, it doesn't have significant structural strength. It's a covering material. It's like a curtain wall kind of material then.
Yeah, it's more styrofoam, it's insulation, and, you know, it's more of appearance. It doesn't provide a lot of structural integrity.
And are there any special challenges in preparing and designing a hospital as compared to other high occupancy facilities like a hotel or a school? I imagine there must be particular care and complications when you're working in a hospital situation.
Yes. I think if you look at the patients in a hospital, certainly they're not as mobile as students or guests in a hotel. Many of the patients, you know, are connected to ventilators, pumps, monitors, IVs. They're under supervision or either restricted to bed. So hospitals are also more typically vertical, so they go higher. You know, your schools are usually one or two stories. And in a hotel that actually has four or five or more stories, actually those patients are able to get up and go down the stairs on their own or use the elevators on their own. Here in the hospital, of course, you know, they got to be accompanied by staff that can actually try to move them safely. So, and your critical areas, especially like your ICU, NICU, PICUs, even provide additional issues. Sometimes, you know, there's a very good or high risk just moving a patient in a critical ICU, just moving them out of their room is a high risk. So certainly in a hurricane, you know, you can kind of design more safe rooms or basement rooms that can provide, because you might get a day or two notice that it's on its way toward you. But in 10 or 15 minutes, you can't relocate a couple hundred patients down elevators and that. And it's very difficult to move patients that are bedridden and that through stairwells.
So a few minutes ago, you talked about the below grade construction. So what facilities and features are you putting below grade?
Actually, below grade, we'll have a lot of the back of the house, if you will, functions. You'll have offices, support functions down there. We'll actually have surgery. The emergency department will actually be partially buried below grade. So it'll kind of be below grade, but yet have a walkout area. And the area of the emergency department that will be exposed to the exterior will have the new laminated window systems. We actually found a laminated window system that actually has been tested for up to 250 mile an hour winds and projectiles actually of 100 miles an hour. And that's kind of the strongest windows we've been able to find. And we're going to put those windows in our critical areas. So our ICUs, NICUs, PICUs, and in our emergency department, which we're trying to keep the emergency department intact because that's kind of where the community comes in an event like that to be safe and actually be treated in case something happens.
So will the ICUs be below grade?
Actually, no. The ICUs, PICUs, they're all required to be above grade. All patient rooms and patient areas have to have windows to the outside. So it's kind of a code requirement to have the windows. So one of the challenging things for us is, of course, you know, everybody likes to have a lot of windows and bring in the light from outside. And it is a code requirement to actually have windows in all patient rooms and areas. So actually, the windows and trying to find a really good window system that will hold up is one of our biggest challenges.
I can understand the aesthetic appeal, but is it possible that the codes really aren't recognizing what the environmental risk is?
Well, I think yes. I think there's not a lot of codes written for, you know, these type of events. So if you look at materials, if you look at window systems, there's really none that are tested for tornado-type events. There are, of course, some now for hurricane, but there really is no code and there is really no set code requirement for testing of tornado type events. And so I think in the future, certainly, I think after this event, there will be a higher interest in that. But right now, there's not a lot of code requirements designed around tornadoes.
Are you doing anything special to protect the backup electrical power supply?
Yes, actually, as we talked, the generators were outside, the fuel tanks were actually above grade in the old facility. So in the new facility, we're actually burying all the fuel tanks. We're actually building the utility plant out of reinforced concrete and block. So it'll be a more structural bunker, if you will, to put the generators and chillers and all that in there to provide some protection for them. Also, everything from the utility plant will go in underground through a tunnel into the new hospital. So everything from the emergency power systems backup will actually go underground through a tunnel into the hospital and then feed up through the hospital. So there won't be anything above grade. And utility plant will be structured to kind of withstand the tornado. And the other thing we had as we lost power, you know, as we lose power, you know, the hospital really relies on its emergency power. So we kind of lost some of our critical equipment functioning, and the damage inside the hospital was so severe, everything was blown all over the place. It was hard for the staff to actually find what they needed and get to patients in a timely manner. So, you know, of course, first is keeping the building intact, but we're also looking at a UPS system that will back up critical life support equipment in our critical areas.
Uninterrupted power supply.
Yes. So, you know, a lot of the equipment and critical equipment and ventilators, they'll come with a UPS system that has enough backup power. The battery can actually provide power for, you know, maybe 5 or 10 minutes, long enough for a patient to move from one room to another or a different area, but not for, you know, to lose power for hours or days in this case. So the new systems that we're looking at will provide backup power for ventilators up to about 2 hours or so. So that would be enough time to get to the patients and treat them. So,
Are you using modular construction for the new facility?
Actually, we're not using modular construction. I think one of the challenges on the modular construction was, we looked at the modular building we built, kind of had limits of 3 stories, and the interim hospital we're using right now was modular, and it's about 160,000 square feet, but it has kind of limitations, and I think the technology of modular construction just isn't there for us to build a 900,000 square foot facility, you know, in a state-of-the-art hospital that's 9 stories. I don't think the technology is there, and also, when we decided to go ahead and rebuild in Joplin, I think we broke ground within 5 months of that decision. So we were out trying to find land, do programming, and figure out what we need. I think in those type of prefab facilities, you know, you need a lot more time up front and a lot more time to plan and fabricate things. So, you know, when we evaluated it, we felt it was much better to kind of build it in the field and get going on it. So
for the interim hospital, using the modular approach allowed you to get something up really quick, I assume.
Right. I think the modular facility that we built, we actually designed and built it within 8 months. But really, it was using a kind of a design that was kind of off the shelf, if you will. It was already there. It was designed for modular construction. You know, we really didn't have time to design something from scratch, fabricate it, and get it out and open within the 8-month time frame.
And then the interim hospital, is that going to be dismantled when your hospital is complete, or are you going to integrate the two structures together in some way?
You know, that's a good question. We're still kind of tossing that around ourselves. So the interim hospital, certainly if you look at it, you can't tell that it's modular construction. It looks like built in the field in a permanent facility. So we are looking at that right now to see if it makes sense to use it as a outpatient surgery center or clinics, or urgent care. It's about 5 miles from the new campus that we're building. So I think that we're still kind of evaluating that, and we don't know if it makes sense to move it or if it's going to make sense to keep it and try to refunction the building.
So I'm curious about the process that you used to come up with the design for the new facility. There are a lot of needs that we're trying to meet. Did you assemble an interdisciplinary group to do this? Were there medical professionals as well as architects and engineers involved?
Yeah, absolutely. In our department for Mercy, we have interior designers, we have hospital planners and architects. So basically that team is actually working on the best designs for the future of healthcare. That team has also been going out to all the communities, and we've been having community meetings where we invite some of our patients and visitors in, and we review designs. We ask them the questions of what's wrong with our existing facilities, what would you like to see. So there's a lot of community input, a lot of designers, engineers input, and also we have a team of physicians and nurses that actually work with our designers that go through all the clinical needs, the workflows, and figure that out. So there's been a lot of time and effort put into what should that hospital of the future be.
Do you know if there's a trend in interest in other storm-related designs, especially in Tornado Alley? Are other institutions looking at this kind of thing in the way that you guys are?
You know, actually, you know, we've been talking to some of our consultants and engineers, and they have gotten some phone calls from other facilities since the Joplin tornado and since what we're doing has been kind of in the public view. they've been asking a lot of questions. So I would say, yes, there's definitely a more of an interest today than there was before the Joplin event. And I would imagine that interest will grow over the next few years as we continue. I would imagine everyone will evaluate and determine what's important to them and what they can afford. We're looking at probably $10 to $12 million we're spending on storm hardening features for this facility. So I would imagine everybody's going to evaluate that, and there'll probably be some inconsistencies in the implementation based on what people, you know, systems can afford and what they feel was necessary. So there really isn't a lot of tornado-type materials and equipment out there like we talked. But certainly I think companies and window manufacturers and all will certainly start testing and get more active in that.
So the $10 to $12 million worth of incremental costs, what fraction of that is that of the total cost of the hospital?
The construction of the facility itself is around $350 million. And of course, there's a lot of design and equipment and other cost on that. So the total budget with all the medical equipment and technologies that are going in there is about $500 million.
Yeah, but still not a huge percentage to provide this additional increment of protection, I would think.
No.
And are other hospitals that may want to do some of this stuff in a more of a retrofit way, will they be able to do some of the things that you guys are doing with a fresh build as a retrofit?
You know, actually, there probably will be. If you look at the existing facility and what we've learned there, is our windows were one of the biggest issues we have. Almost all of your normal window systems pretty much fail. But as we look at the behavioral health unit, those window systems actually were laminated glass systems. So you can get and install field-applied laminate safety film onto the existing windows. So one of the things Mercy's looking at is all of our existing facilities, of course. With the event here, we have a lot of other facilities in this area through Springfield and Arkansas and Kansas here. So basically what we're looking at is what can we do to retrofit those facilities and make them safer. One of the things, of course, all new facilities will incorporate a lot of the design things that we learn on this facility will get incorporated into future facilities that we build in this area. But the retrofit of that is one of the biggest things we can do is the safety film. So they do have tested windows with the safety film on it that provides a lot better protection than just your normal glass systems. So certainly I think there will be things that they can do to help provide safety for the patients.
Do you think going forward, based on the experience that you've had, that you can have some influence on building codes for facilities like this, particularly in vulnerable areas?
Certainly, I think what we're going through and the evaluation of the existing hospital, working with consultants, working with a lot of manufacturers for windows and wall systems, certainly I do believe that we can certainly help with some of the requirements that things we should be looking at provide better safety.
Is somebody taking the responsibility to write this experience up for the journal so that future engineers and architects can reach out and learn what you did?
Right. I think one of the other things in the tornado, the penthouses, which were metal panels in the past, blew off, which exposed some of our stairwells to the outside elements, which actually then, as the wind got into them stairwells, pulled drywall off of the stairwells, which blocked the stairwells from evacuating the facility. So one of the things we learned is there is a Miami-Dade EIFS system. So even on our penthouse, we're going to go back with an EIFS system, but it's going to be a hurricane strength EIFS system. So it kind of has a backing plate behind it that will adhere and attach and actually withstand flying debris and actually blowing off the facility. And also, we're not using drywall in the stairwells anymore. We're actually using a hurricane board in the stairwell with additional fasteners to prevent anything from coming off and blocking the egress. One of the issues we had as we were vacating, the stairwells had drywall and stuff laying on them, which made it a little more hazardous. And actually, with no power, the stairwells, as you know, are enclosed, which really kind of hurt the egress. So they were trying to hold flashlights and move patients down stairwells, which really made it a lot more difficult. So we're looking at some battery lighting also in the stairwells to make it safer in case we need to use them in the future.
So very interesting project. When is the new hospital going to be open?
Actually, the new hospital is scheduled to open in the spring of 2015.
Okay, well, we'll look for more news stories about it. We really appreciate your giving us some insights into this different style of construction, something that we probably are going to need to pay attention to as we see an increasing frequency of severe weather events. So thanks for being with us today, John. I really appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you very much.